You may be seated. That prayer is one that I stole directly from the epistle for today, and the epistle that Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and seemed appropriate for all saints. I was thinking this morning when I woke up about Ephesians, and I'm going to concentrate mostly on Ephesians today, but anyway, and I was thinking about the bishop and his favorites. You know, he has his favorite scripture, his favorite, well, is Ephesians my favorite book, went running through my mind, and I was like, okay, well. But I love the epistle to the Philippians because it's so comforting and shows the love of Paul. Well, you can't have an epistle as your favorite book. You got to have a gospel as your favorite book. And I love the Gospel of Mark because it's nice and short and succinct and it gets right to the point. I try and read through the Gospel of Mark straight through out loud at least once every year. I just think it's a really good practice. But then, I don't want to pass up John. I mean, you know, John's gospel. You know, so maybe John's my favorite book. Now, wait a minute, though. Psalms. I read through the Psalms every 2 weeks. That beats any of the other books of the Bible. But there's also Isaiah, and it has all those messianic prophecies and the servant songs. And so, my favorite book of the Bible is the book of the Bible. That's what the conclusion was, anyway. And you know, you can't take any part of the Bible away from any other part of the Bible. It's a whole. You can't. And you know, you want to ignore there's certain things that the Bible says that make you really uncomfortable and convict you. I'm looking at you.
Specifically you.
Because I don't have a mirror to look in. But oh my gosh, just the other day I was meeting with my accountability partner and I had just done Psalm 43 and it was talking about ministering to the poor and I was like, oh God, I do that so poorly. Oh, you know, and it's just real conviction in that. Anyway, but you know, I don't know about you, but I don't really enjoy the first 9 chapters of the first book of Chronicles. I really don't. I don't enjoy reading that. I mean, but I do read it. But, you know, a whole lot of names, and I can't pronounce 99% of them, but anyway.
But they all begat each other.
Yeah, but they begat each other. They had a good time.
That's a good confession on the names. Nobody can.
Amen. Anyway, this is not the sermon. I don't know. Anyway. Oh, well. All right.
Get back on track.
Get back on track. Just, you know, I do love the Bible. I can't imagine going a day without reading the Bible. I can't imagine a day going without telling my wife I love her. Well, I can't imagine a day going by that I don't tell God I love him and want to hear the same from him. Where am I going to hear that? It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Anyway, all right, to the sermon. Ephesians chapter 1, if you would, please. In verse 11. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. In order that we, who were first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. This is All Saints Sunday, folks. And it's telling us that we are chosen. We have been chosen in order that we might be. And that word in Greek can be to be, to exist, to live. In order that we might live for the praise of his glory. Glory. He made us saints so that we could live for the praise of his glory. I thought it was really wonderful in one way that we have all hymns today. I think that's kind of cool. And I got to give Susan kudos here, Saint Susan. amen. Yay. That's right. When she sent me the list of the hymns that she was going to do today, she actually put a title on it. I thought that was kind of cool. And it says, An Upward Look. That was cool. Jack never gives me titles.
We're lucky we can find a time to get together.
That's right. You know what, guys? I'm going to have to take a half a second here. My hearing aid just quit. So I didn't hear that. That's why I had to turn this way. I'm not going to hear if this doesn't work. So you guys be patient with me for just a half a second. All right. It's hell getting old, folks.
You leave your collar at
home. I left my collar at home. I left my phone at home. I blame it all on Benjamin Franklin. He's the one who came up with the idea of daylight savings time. When he was an ambassador in France, he wrote an article about how it would be a good idea.
He had some good ideas.
Why is it a good idea?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out why it's a good idea. But anyway. All right. What was that?
They didn't have electricity back then.
Well, this is all too true. It is all too true. All right, back to the story here. Okay? Anyway, but as you're looking at these hymns, and thank you, Susan. Thank you, Deb. And thank you, Maria. That was really wonderful to have you all up there, and it's great. But, you know, what is it saying about the saints? The first hymn, For All the Saints, kind of gives you a skewed idea of what it means to be a saint, because it says, For all the saints who from their labors rest. Do we have to die to become a saint? Ooh, that's bad news.
Maybe she's talking about the dead saints in that
particular. Yeah, I got that. And then when we all get to heaven. Oh, I love that. That was fun. That was good. I love that. And it does have this statement. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Well, that kind of brings it back to us, right? Yeah. So, okay. We're okay. I sing a song of the saints of God. I was telling Diane, I was remembering her husband used to always say about that the fierce wild priest. And he always pointed at me when. Anyway, fierce wild beast, Marshall, beast, not priest. Anyway, but I sing a song of the saints of God, and I mean to be one too. Amen? Amen. All right, so what does a saint look like then? Well, let's take a look at a couple of the scriptures. Who are the saints? What does the Bible say? Well, look at Psalm, of course. It's my favorite book. Psalm 16. Psalm 16 in verse 3. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious one in whom is all my delight. God delights in the saints. God delights in having a relationship with his people. Those who are in relationship with him are the saints. All right. Now, go back to the New Testament. Romans chapter 1. In verse 7. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You are called. You are chosen. You are loved by God and called to be a saint, my friends. And then one more, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. By the way, there's literally scores of references to saints in the Bible, but I'm just giving you three. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. When it says that those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, that Greek word is hagios. That Greek word is the same word that's used to mean saints. So for all of those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be saints. We are the saints of God, my friends. And I really felt like this was a message of hope and encouragement for this congregation right now. We've all been kind of beat up and worn down, and there's been kind of a malaise that is, we've been fighting off and on, and Christopher was talking about his, okay, only one car emergency per week, and okay, you know, Miranda had a flat tire, Christopher had a flat tire, you know, it's just, okay, what, and then, what was it that happened this
year? Check engine light.
Check engine light, okay, yeah, you know, and then, I don't know, If you pay any attention to what's going on in the world, that's discouraging and depressing right there.
This is our ordeal from his lesson.
Say that again?
This is our ordeal from his lesson.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to get to that in the very next thing, as a matter of fact. So, in today's lesson, in Ecclesiasticus chapter 2, he read ordeal, and I've got it in the RSV here. My son, if you come forward to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for temptation. Prepare yourself for an ordeal. You know, if you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to be going against the flow. See, the whole world is going this way, but when you are in Christ, you're going against the flow because you're headed toward Christ. The world is running away from Christ, and you're gonna run into an ordeal. But it ends with this wonderful encouragement, and that's what I want you to hear. Consider the ancient generations and see. Whoever trusted in the Lord and was put to shame? Whoever persevered in the fear of the Lord and was forsaken? Whoever called upon him and was overlooked? The answer to all of those is
nobody.
No one. No. For the Lord is compassionate and merciful. He forgives sins and saves in times of affliction. That should be very encouraging to all of us. Times may be tough, but we keep our focus on the Lord. We keep in relationship with Him, and He will not allow us to be put to shame. He will not allow us to be forsaken. He will not allow us to be overlooked. The Lord loves you, He has forgiven you, He's not mad at you, and He will never leave you nor forsake you. And then we had Psalm 149, which is a wonderful warfare psalm, and I think it's probably very important to a certain ministry that we have in this parish. And there's a verse in there. What does that verse say?
Praise Him with dance.
Praise Him with dance! Amen! Hallelujah! That's it.
It's part of the warfare.
And it is a type of warfare, absolutely. And it is a warfare psalm. If you read the latter part of that psalm, it's all about taking up a two-edged sword and, you know, wreaking vengeance and all that sort of stuff. But we do that, and we're going to get to this in just a minute, so I'm not going to go there yet. I'll come back to that. Stay on topic, Bill. All right, Luke chapter 6 was the gospel for today, and that is Luke's version of the Beatitudes. But Luke is really an important gospel for this congregation in many ways. It was the gospel that we used when we were ministering on Christmas Eve downtown. It was very informative to the whole ministry of the Luke 10:1 ministry that we had as a parish, where we were going out door to door when we were still over on Patton Avenue. Luke is an important saint in the life of this parish. But we still have Ephesians. And we had the prayer that we started this sermon with, but there was also that quote, "We are chosen in order that we might be for the praise of His glory." But I want to share a couple other pieces from Ephesians with you. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 9, it says that when Jesus had ascended on high and He led captives in His train, and then it says, "What does 'He ascended' mean except that He also descended to the lower earthly regions?" He descended into hell, folks. "He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe." Jesus came from the highest heaven. He went to the deepest depths. He has filled all in all. We heard that in the epistle that was read earlier too. "It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." to prepare God's people. Again, the NIV kind of fudges here. That word, again, is hagios. To prepare the saints. He made some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers to equip the saints. We are the saints. And he has filled all in all. And of course, Ephesians also gives us all the armor of God. But don't forget where the armor of God, after you read that whole passage about the armor of God in chapter 6, beginning with verse 10, go to verse 18. After you've put on the armor of God, what are you supposed to do with it? In verse 18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. You put on the armor of God and you do warfare. Where does the warfare take place? The warfare takes place in prayer. What are you to do? You are to pray for all the saints. You are to do warfare, making all kinds of prayers and requests before God. Fully armored up and ready to do battle. All right, so we're chosen to be saints. And as it said in that beautiful hymn, sing a song, I mean to be one too. Anybody else want to join? Anybody else want to be a saint too? Amen. Anybody? Okay. Not the deacon? Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Just check. I know that feeling. All right. Now, I'm going to tell you a secret here, folks. It's about relationship.
What a surprise.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Our parish, I believe, with every fiber of my being, has been called to be a warfare parish. Yes. But I believe with every fiber of our being, we're called to be an equipping parish. We're called to be different, to be set apart, and to set apart the people of God. One of the prophetic words that was given very early in the life of our parish was that people would come to this parish, and like firebrands, they would be heated up, they would get the fire of the Spirit, and then they would be sent out. We've had over 300 people who have been members of this parish over the last 24 years. And we've sent out so many into all sorts of corners of the world. And I believe that's an important part of the ministry we have been called to do. We're not church as usual. I mean, you know, it's not going to be attractive to a whole lot of people. We don't do the entertainment routine, okay? We don't do the feel-good routine. We're really being called to equip the saints for the warfare that takes place on your knees in the face of God. It's saintly preparation to be the hagios, to be the holy ones. And I mean to be one too. Amen? Amen. Well, let me rehearse just briefly some of the ministries that this parish, you know, I love the email that Hugh sent out a couple weeks ago, and I thank you again for that email. That was just really an encouragement. You know, a church of this size and what the things we do and what we have done over the years. I mentioned In His Steps and Praising God in the Dance. You've done this now for, what, 23 years? 21 years, okay. 21 years, praise the Lord. How many lives has that ministry touched and affected? Just incredible. The ministry of Three Streams. Oh my goodness! You know how many hundreds of people came through the doors of Three Streams, the Shoebox ministry, and who knows how many lives we've touched with sending out shoeboxes. Back in the 1990s, the witches were very strong in the city of Asheville, and the Lord put it on my heart to go down there. We had we went to, what was that place called? The coffee shop down there.
Be Here Now.
It was one of them.
Yeah, but anyway, there was a coffee shop, a Christian coffee shop, and we all went and we did warfare there, and then we all marched up to City County Plaza where the witches were, and we sprinkled it with holy water, and then the Lord gave us a vision to do an All Saints celebration on Halloween, and so that's what we did for a number of years there, and that was something that was born out of this parish. That also then prompted us to reclaim the National Day of Prayer for the city of Asheville, and also March for Jesus. And all of that came from what the Lord was doing in the midst of this parish. Luke 10:1, as I've mentioned before, going door to door. We had a vision of 1 mile radius from Patton Avenue and knocking on every door. Not to bring in new people. This was very important. We went door to door to say, what is it that you need? Is it something that we can help you with? We weren't proselytizing and asking people to come to our church. We were offering what the Lord was giving to them. Different. A little strange. Different. We had the downtown street ministry over the years. The Christmas Eve service that we did downtown. Why would you leave your nice, warm, comfortable church on Christmas Eve and go downtown and be with the homeless people?
Oh, yeah.
And bring them hot drinks and blankets. Of course, Christopher and others put together that incredible Living Stations of the Cross on Good Friday 1 year. On another Halloween, there were a group of us who went down and we put up a table and we put a sign on the table, Spiritual Readings. And then when people would come, we'd pray over them and give them a prophetic word. And that was pretty awesome. We did prayer walking. Jackie and I did a prayer walk all the way around Pritchard Park that night. And just praying for all those people. Mm-hmm. Of course, we were very heavily involved in the birth of the seminary for the Charismatic Episcopal Church. For the women's Bible study. You guys, what you're doing right now, I think that's just awesome. Online teachings that Hugh and Father David and others, or Christopher and others, are doing. You know, the Lenten booklets. There's a lot of teaching that's going out from this parish. And then even today, the soup kitchen. What you guys are doing at the soup kitchen. And Kairos. And fabulous stuff. Fellowship of St. Benedict. It's growing and spreading all over the place. You know, God has called us to be equipping ministers. He has called us to be saints, to do it differently than the world does, to put us really at odds with the world so that we can minister to the world and bring the gospel to the world, and that the world will see and know the holiness of the Almighty God as He is made manifest in us. God said at the beginning of this year that He was going to do something new. Well, what is that new that He's doing? I think He's calling us to a deeper, more intimate, personal relationship, not only with the parish as a whole, like I've just described, but with each one of us. He wants to get more intimate with each one of us, and He gives us the tools to do that. And I think that's an important part. We've done some of that already with the quiet days that we've had. We've had a couple of them so far this year. With the retreats at Mepkin Abbey. With the Fellowship of St. Benedict. But also just in your personal prayers. Your time alone with God. Making sure that you give God that time. And also don't forget your favorite book of the Bible. Which is the book of the Bible. Okay? You know, spending time in the Word. And listening to His voice. Today, at this service, in just a few minutes, Father Chris is going to lead us in the reaffirmation of our baptismal vows. Don't just recite them. Really take them to heart. Think about what you're promising God. These are vows that you are making before God. Don't take them lightly. Reaffirm your commitment to Jesus Christ. Reaffirm your renunciation of evil and reaffirm that intimate relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You are called. You are chosen. You are a saint of God. Hallelujah. I want to end with one last thing. You know, we're chosen in order that we might live for the praise of His glory. Yeah. But in the rule of Saint Benedict, Benedict says this in his chapter on the tools. He says, your way of acting, you saints, your way of acting should be different from the world's way. Your way of acting should be different from the world's way. The love of Christ must come before all else. If you have the love of Christ before all else, you're going to be different. I promise you. So, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to be different, but to walk in the love of God. Amen.